10. Great chapter of the Bible. Romans chapter 10. And it talked, and what the great thing about the book of Romans, I love the book of Romans because it explains to his salvation. And right, Paul's writing to the church of Rome, and not talking about the Roman Catholic Church, but talking about the Christians that are in Rome. And he talks about preaching. And, you know, people always say, you know, what happens, you know, what about the people that never heard? What about that? And all that stuff. You know, the Bible tells you about that. The Bible tells you all about it. When I've had people say, well, what about the people never heard? What's going to happen to them? They've never heard. But somebody dropped the ball. That's why it's important for parents and grandparents and everything else to keep the faith, living for God. And but somebody dropped the ball. When Noah got off the ark, Noah's three boys knew who God was. His three daughter-in-laws knew who God was. So when they had children, and then they passed it down, you're supposed to pass the thing down to your children's children. And when they passed it down, they didn't, somebody dropped the ball. You got the African nations, you got the European nations, you got the Asian nations. And somebody dropped the ball. The Asian nations, they went in heathenism. African nations went in heathenism. European nations went in heathenism. And they just went in different types of heathenism, but it was all man type worship and all that other stuff, sacrificing your babies. And that America, that's what they're doing today. They're sacrificing their children to all kinds of other gods. And they're sacrificed for a job. They made their job a god. They made their home a god. They made their money a god. They made all kinds of gods. So, and people are sacrificing their heritage, their children's children all down the road to the other gods of this world and destroys them. Now, the Bible tells us Paul gets saved. You know, Paul gets saved on the road to Emmaus. And he has letters in his hand to go arrest Christians and then to have them killed. And Paul the Apostle. And you said, most people don't know that about your Bible, that Paul was, he consented to the death of Stephen. And Paul got to see something when he saw Stephen die. They stoned Stephen. He was a deacon in the church. It was seven deacons that were voted, and over 3,000 people or more in Jerusalem. And Paul was there, and he had letters from the high priest and from the Sanhedrin to arrest any Christians. So he got Stephen. If you want to see how Stephen took the persecution, how he took the trouble that came in his life, and the Bible says he said he seen Jesus stand on the right hand of God. He got to see Jesus in the middle of his persecution. And Paul was, the Bible says, Paul was named Saul. God changed his name. He's holding the coats for the people to kill him. He's saying, kill him! Kill him! Because he preached the gospel. Yeah, you know, the world looks at, if you believe the Bible, you're dangerous and you're a danger to this society, especially the society where we are today. I was telling somebody back in the 70s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, all the way through there, the big churches in America were Bible-believing Baptist churches. They were Bible-believing. You say, how do you know they were Bible-believing? I mean, they all said with the King James Bible. And they were Bible-believing. They were large churches. Now the large churches are the feel-good churches, the new millennials. They have you know, all this new stuff coming in, and they don't believe they don't preach to any version. They say all the God's word. And we went to a church funeral where they had Don LaDuke's funeral the other day, and Gary was telling me that they have everybody every Sunday repeat the sinner's prayer. Everybody does it. And he said, the reason why, they believe they can lose their salvation every week, you know. They believe you lose them. When you get saved, you can't lose it. I mean, you get saved, you're in. But then it was funny because the funeral wasn't funny. It was good. I thought it was a pretty good funeral. But in the pulpit, the church is beautiful, really beautiful church. They spent about $8, $9 million for the thing. And but the pulpit, right up behind, they have a platform with a set of drums. I mean, a full set of drums. I thought I could see the pastor saying, hit it! You know, I can see the pastor doing that. But that's the new millennial stuff, man. He cracked me up. I was sitting there looking at it. But that's the stuff going on today. Now, we're dinosaurs, really. We're dinosaurs when it comes to this new age. We believe the old King James Bible. Hold your Bible up, preach the Bible, sing the old songs from a hymn book. You notice we sang songs out of hymn book. We didn't sing it off a board, following the bouncy ball, you know, and they keep repeating, God is awesome, God. I mean, it's nothing wrong with saying God's awesome, but they keep repeating that over and over and over again. It's just a millennial way of doing things. And they no judgment, no preaching on sin. They don't want none of that. They don't want you to preach on sin, not like that. And sin is what, if you got to preach on sin in your life. I mean, if you don't preach on sin, how are you going to stay clean? So you got all kinds of stuff going on in churches where they don't preach on sin, so everybody's fornicating, all kinds of stuff going on. And so anyway, Paul saying his heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that they might be saved. And I want to see people saved. And this church, we want to see people saved. I mean, that church ain't said everybody gets saved every week, but and they can say, well, we had 800 saved today. But getting saved, it's a personal thing between you and the Lord, and also is important for us to be a witness for to the world in a dark and dying world going to hell. We need to be a witness. And the Bible says this in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. And it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's so simple that a child can understand, but it's so hard for people to accept. I was with Dave called me about this fellow, Ryan. What's his last name, Dave?
Ward.
Ryan Ward. Ryan, he had taken the CDL license. Dave asked if I go down and meet with him. Did he ever tell you he got saved?
He skipped around it, but he said he gave a good sermon.
Well, he...
So he's like, yeah, I got saved.
Did he say that?
Yeah.
Amen.
I don't know why he didn't want to admit it.
Well, it's hard to admit when you've been wrong. And so we're sitting in the truck after I prayed. I said, Lord, if you want me to be around this guy more, let him fail his test. Don't you tell him I prayed that. Don't tell him I prayed that. And he failed his test. He didn't even get on the road. And so we went. I drove the truck over across the street to Jake's Hamburger, and we sat out there, and he told me, I said, are you saved? He said, I'm Catholic. I said, I didn't ask you that. I said, are you saved? He said, I said, what are you trusting to get you to heaven? What are you trusting? He said, well, I'm a good person. So I went through Bible, went through all that, showed him how he there's none good, no, not one. Bible says all our righteousness are filthy rags inside of God. I went through all that. And finally, I asked him, I said, now are you saved? He said, no. I said, would you like to? He said, yes. I said, now don't you get saved because of me. I said, I can get out of the truck and I can leave right now. No problem. I won't bother you no more. I'll get out of the truck right now. If you want to get saved, I'm here. And he said, I want to get saved.
Amen.
He grabbed my hand. And he wouldn't even let go of my hand after he prayed, after he asked the Lord to save me. And amen. That was a blessing. His name's Ryan Ward. Pray for him. But he said, it's so simple for a person, but pride gets in the way of men. It says in verse 10, for with the heart man believes on the righteous. I told him, I said, this is not a Catholic magical prayer you pray every week. You get saved one time. Now you ask God on a daily basis to forgive you of sin, cleansing you. But it's not getting saved over and over and over again. You're only born in this one life. And I showed him about Nicodemus. And Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time in his mother's womb and be born? Jesus said, no, what's flesh is flesh, and that which is spirit, marvel not, so you must be born again. And with the heart man believes on the righteous, and with the mouth confession made on the salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. I hope you're never ashamed of Jesus Christ. You ought to be able to, when we was in Bible school, Doc taught us this. He said, you ought to be able to be willing to preach, pray, or die in a matter of seconds. Preach, pray, or die as a preacher. And a Christian ought to be not ashamed of Jesus Christ. The world will try to oppress you and try to get you to back down. Samson called me last night, and he said, Brother Gibbs told a story. He was down there preaching. He said he told this story. He said, a guy called him up and said to the CLA, he said, can you represent me? And he said, represent you? And he said, yeah. He said the county where I live, the attorney general or the state, whatever it was, he said, they passed a law against me, so I can't pass out tracts. And he goes, no, they didn't do that just for you. They had to be. So he said, the guy said, no, they passed the law just against me. Passing out tracts. And he said, Samson said, Dad, he said, I couldn't believe it. He said, Gibbs was telling this story. And he said, this guy asked him, would you come? So he calls the attorney general of the state and says, did you pass a law? This guy's named this guy. And said, did you pass a law just to stop this guy from passing out tracts? And the attorney general admitted it and said, yes. We passed a law just to stop that guy. He said, what do you mean you passed a law? He said, I know you're coming here to represent him. He said, I kind of figure. He said, well, I haven't took the case yet. I just want to find out. He said, what's going on? He said, well, he's nonstop. He just won't stop. He led the Catholic priest in this area to the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, that made him mad. He said he's leading everybody to the Lord every time he turned around. He's leading. And Gibbs said, you got to be kidding. He said, how many tracts does he pass out a day? He said, over 400 a day. Over 400 a day. So Gibbs called the guy back. He said, I'll take you on. I'll represent you. And the guy said, well, I'll pay for your ticket to get here. And the guy said, no. Gibbs said, no. To make a long story short, he said, he gets there, and the guy meets him at the airport. He said, he's crippled. He said, he's hunchback. His arm's all shriveled up. And he walks, and he says it's easier to put him in a wheelchair and take him around. And he said he's seen the guy, and he said, they pass a law against you to pass out track? Good night. And he said, my Lord, he said, can you feed yourself? And the guy goes, no. I can't feed myself. He said, do you dress yourself? He said, no, I can't. He said, how can you pass out tracks? He said, I figure out a way that I put sticky stuff on the back of my hand, and I stick it, and then I hold it out.
Wow.
Gibbs said he started crying. He told God, said, God, give me my hands. He said, I know God can't do that, but he said, God, give him. He said, but he's doing that 400 tracks a day. He said, they passed the law. He said, the case got thrown out. They tried to pass this ordinance in a certain town where he lived. That's what it was. And they went to the attorney general of the state. My Lord, man. And it says, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Are you ashamed? Yeah, I find sometimes people that have the less going for them is the ones that try to do the most. They have hindrances, they have all kinds of disabilities, but they try to do as much as they can for the glory of God. Why? Because they know they're not they don't have good. What happens is us, we think, well, we're good health, we can do it anytime I want. But I just ain't want to right now. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth in him, verse 11, shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means anybody. I've been praying, Lord, give me more fruit. I want more fruit. I want to see more people saved. There's supposed to be a guy coming here today. I went and seen last night. His name's Steve Swan. He's had open heart surgery. He's my age. And when I'm talking to him on the phone, and Justin called me about the guy, he's military, and he said this guy had open heart. He got infection in the hospital with the open heart surgery. He got, staph infection. They had to cut him back open, break his, ribs, unwire him, all that stuff, and then they couldn't wire him back up. He was born in the same hospital I was born in. He was born in the same county I was born in, and he's the same age as I am. And I want to see the old boy saved. Went and seen him. But anyway, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's so easy, but it's so hard. And it says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Amen. And God, I said this last week, I said, God's chosen the foolishness of preaching to save them which believe. Now, people always say, don't preach to me, don't preach to me. Women, husbands will say, don't preach to me, don't preach to me. Because I think everybody's called to preach in the sense of witnessing. But when it comes to preaching from the pulpit, I believe a man, because the Bible says a man, God calls men to preach, doesn't call women the pastor of church. Because the Bible says a woman should not assert authority over a man. Hey, Steve, good to see you, brother. A woman should not assert authority over a man. And Timothy, go over to Timothy. And when it talks about that, it's talking about in the church. And it's talking about being the pastor. That's why a woman can never be a pastor. It says the husband and one wife. So, and a lot of the new age movement is the women, and pastoring and all that stuff. You say, I don't go try to straighten them out. We've had some women come here and they said they were pastors and all that stuff. I don't try to straighten them out. Go ahead and leave. Go ahead.
Amen.
No, I'm kidding. Stacy thinks she's the pastor. No, I'm kidding. But God put man at the head of the home, Jesus Christ at the head of the church. But I know this, if a man won't step up and do the job, God will use a woman. God will use a woman. Some men don't have the guts. Remember over in Romans, not being ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I find women are less ashamed of Jesus Christ than men. You say, how can you prove that? Because whenever Jesus Christ was crucified, all the men forsook him, but the women were there. They weren't afraid to be identified. And you know, when a church dies, when the church starts dying, the last people you find sitting in there is women. Women stay with it. Women have more guts sometimes than men. And women will stand up, and they'll do it. But when it comes to pastoring a church, God wants a man to do the job. If God don't find a woman, you know, I'm against women preachers. I think you shouldn't do it. And shouldn't be that way. And a lot of churches are going that way now. Now churches are going to homosexuals and all the other stuff, and lesbians and everything else. Anything goes these days. And look in 1 Timothy chapter 2. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. It says, for there's one God, verse 5, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. That cuts out any man. That cuts out the priest and the religious leaders. One God, one mediator between God and man. It says, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher. I like to be called preacher. And I told you before, I used to hate that word minister. I used to hate that word. I didn't like to be called minister. I've learned through reading my Bible through the years, I've learned to be a minister. Anybody can preach, but I want to be a preacher and a minister. The Bible, and I want to be a preacher to minister to people. Doc used to tell us in Bible school, he said, a lot of guys get on hobby horses. They'll get on hobby horses and they'll say, ride this hobby horse, and they destroy people through their hobby horse. He said, but ministering to people is something different. And whenever Doc preached, he always ministered. And I want to minister to people. I want to help people. I want to see people. I want to see my brothers and sisters in Christ get stronger. I want to see them get and fall more in love with Jesus Christ. And that's not saying you compromise with being a minister. You're a preacher. And God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them which believe. So preaching, I'm for preaching. I like preaching. And I can take preaching. And look, but a lot of people don't want to be preached at. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher, an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith, verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath or doubting. In like manner also the women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, and not with broiled hair or gold or pearls or costly array, putting on an act, you know, trying to be Tammy Faye. Verse 10, of which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor assert authority over man, but to be in silence. Adam was first formed. It explains it. Adam was first formed, and then Eve. Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Here's a verse right here. Good for you, ladies. It says, notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing. Saved from what? From being deceived. A woman that's had a few children, brother, I'll tell you what, she's got her eyes open. If they continue in faith and charity and holiness and with sobriety. So a woman should not be a pastor, put it that way, because why? She doesn't qualify to be a pastor. Now, I believe every woman is called to preach in the sense of being a witness and witnessing to people. Look at verse 14, back to Romans chapter 10. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As written, God... how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And the Bible says a preacher's feet is beautiful. Why? A person that preaches, it could be a woman witnessing, whatever, beautiful feet. Why? It's taking the gospel. It's walking. is putting the word of God out. And so if they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So faith is what our objective is, to try to get people to have. The Bible says every man has a measure of faith. Everybody that's born, think about this, everybody born, God puts in them a measure of faith. And that measure of faith is determined they can trust Jesus Christ, their Savior. That's enough faith to get saved. And if that person rejects that, but faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So God uses faith now. In the Old Testament, it was works, law. It was all the law. New Testament is by faith. For by grace are you saved through what? Faith. That not of yourself is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So God uses in the New Testament through Jesus Christ, having faith in him, putting your faith in him. And God wants you to put your faith in him. And the more your faith gets stronger, the Bible says increase in faith. And the way you increase in faith is by hearing the word of God or reading the word of God. Our faith should be stronger than it was this time last year. Your faith, trials and troubles and persecutions and things that happen in your life ought to make you stronger, not weaker. It ought to. And what happens to a lot of Christians, they go through trials, they don't read their Bible, they don't pray, so they get weaker in faith. They get weaker and they start saying, well, God, why did you do this? It seemed like before I got saved, I had less trouble than I got now. God's trying to get you to a point where your faith will grow. He's trying to get you to a place where you can grow in faith. Faith coming by hearing, hearing by the word of God. It says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So if you want to please God, it's by faith. If you want to please God. But what we want, this new, I mean, we're all that way. We want it like, boom, right now, give it to me. Faith has to grow on a daily, just like a little baby. I watched my grandchildren grow up. I watched my children grow up. And it's a day by day, a little bit. And then they get their eyes open to things. And watching them, see them get their eyes open to things, and they start understanding things. I was riding down the road. I was told at church, I think Jordan was with me Thursday night. And we're riding down the road, and we're singing. Me and Jordan singing in the truck. And we're going to Brother Matthew's house, and we're singing. And Jordan, and it says, Not Afraid to Die was a song. And Jordan looks up at me, and man, it scared me. It scared me. Whew. I started praying. He said, Papa. I said, yeah. He said, I'm not afraid to die. And I went, amen, son. I need to do my. And I said, oh, God, protect him. God, protect him. He said, Pop, I'm not afraid to die. I'm saved. Amen. Hallelujah. It says, for they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who have believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing. Not everybody's going to receive the Lord. At the time, the Bible says some plant, some water, God give the increase. Our job, God's given us a job. He's already provided faith. He's already provided the word of God. He's already provided salvation. So he allows us to get in on it. And also how you serve him here is going to determine how you're going to reign with him. And he allows you to get in on it. He wants you to be in on it. It's just like a father starting a business. He wants his sons, his children to inherit it. He wants them to have a part of it. But he doesn't want them to just get it for nothing. He wants them to earn it, to appreciate it. And God allows you to go through stuff so you'll appreciate your salvation. He wants you to appreciate heaven. He wants you to appreciate his goodness. He wants you to appreciate things. But what happens is people get to the place, they don't appreciate nothing. So how do you know that? Look back in Romans chapter 1, it says, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, nor were thankful. They became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish hearts were darkened. So when you appreciate what God did for you, and I know everything I have, God gave it to me. Amen. I know, man, that his goodness has been good to me. And Steve, him and I was talking, and we were talking about he grew up in Prince George's County, and over at, he was born in the same hospital I was. I think back, I told him, I said, I stole a government vehicle one night, and a friend of mine was named Jet. He was in there with me, and a guy named Robert Gonzalez. We was all messed up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and we were smoking PCP. And, whew. I told him, I said, I came off the Baltimore Washington Parkway. First, I knew I was so messed up I couldn't drive. I started walking, and they come by me in this Air Force SWAT team truck I stole. And they come by and said, come on, man, we're going to go party. So I got in like an idiot. I got in. We're all wearing sunglasses. We all had long hair. And we got in the truck, and Jet was driving. He said, we're going to party, baby. We're going to party. And he has the thing to the floor. And we're going up 450, Route 450, heading towards Capitol Plaza. And I guess we went by a 7-Eleven, a bunch of Prince George County cops were in there, and they saw his red hair blowing out the door. And all of a sudden, man, we went past the plaza there, and there was cops chasing us. And they were all around us. And I remember I looked out the back window, and I said, hey, man, pull over. We got a better chance on our feet through the woods. And I kept yelling, pull over, and then I looked back, and there wasn't nobody driving. And I looked back out, Jet jumped out. We were going about 100 miles an hour. He jumped out, rolled, and a cop almost ran over him. He got up, and he was laying in the road, and got up and started dragging himself across to the woods. And Robert got behind the wheel, and we got on Baltimore Washington Parkway. We came right off of Prince George's County at the hospital there. We came off that exit. We hit a medium strip about that high, took the front end out from under the thing. He kept it going. And we went down the road, and roadblocks was everywhere. They were on 202. Roadblocks were set up everywhere. And he made a left turn, and we went off the side of a cliff, laying on top of State Farm Insurance, rolled off top of that thing. Robert got stuck in the windshield. I remember laying on the ground. I laying in that thing. I still got my sunglasses on. And I'm laying there, and I said, hey, man, hey, Robert, he's stuck in the windshield. He said, yeah. I said, you all right? He said, I'm all right. I said, tell him I wasn't driving, you hear me? Tell him I'm a hitchhiker. No, I said, tell him I'm a hitchhiker. And Robert said, okay, man, okay. He was high as a kite. He said, you just tell him I wasn't driving, okay? I said, all right. He turned state's evidence on me for a ham sandwich. Good friend. But I thought back when he said Prince George's Hospital, that went through my mind. Stuff like that, crazy stuff, went through my mind. I'm thinking, how good God been to me. How good he's been. How shall they hear? Faith cometh by hearing. It says, by say, have they not heard? See, I didn't know nothing about Jesus Christ. I didn't want to hear it. I closed my ears to it. I didn't want to hear it. And when I finally got to the point, see, God's got to get a person. That's why you never give up on a person. God's got to get to a person to a point where they finally stop and surrender. And they finally get to the place of, man, this life, I just heard about a boy killing himself down at Polytech. I wish I could have got to him. I wish I could have talked to him. I would have told him something to live for. Amen. There's some things to live for. Amen. That boy that called me, young people think they got it all together, they know what they're doing. That boy, Dylan, hung himself, 25 years old. They think, oh, I know what I'm doing. Get out of my way. Preacher, you ain't going to tell me what to do. Some of you teenagers like that. Oh, I know what I'm doing. Yeah, you'll make a stinking mess out of your life. Amen. Preacher's trying to get your faith for your growing faith and get closer to him. I'm telling you, man, I've been out there on the other side. I know what's out there. I know what's there. I know it's just heartache, trouble, and sorrow. Just heartache, trouble, and sorrow. That's all my family faced. We got saved. Man, God changed everything. Well, you're talking about blessings. Amen. Blessing after blessing. I mean, we went through hardships after we're saved, but we went through things, but we had peace in the middle of it. Amen. God is able to give a peace. The Bible tells us in Romans 1, man, I tell you what, you be thankful. Be thankful. Talking about the Gentiles, we'll have to get into that next time. I'm talking about the Gentiles. How we got in on this, you know what Jesus said one time? A woman came up and she said, Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy on my children. Have mercy on me. And Jesus said this. He says, not fit to give the food from the table to the dogs. Jesus Christ called this woman a dog.
That's right.
Said Jesus never said an unkind word to nobody. Oh, yeah? He called the woman a dog. But what he was saying, she was a Gentile. He says, not fit to give the food from the table to the dogs, Gentiles. And she said, you know, the woman she was witty, very witty. And that woman came back and had a response. And the reason why the Lord said it, so whenever God said something, he always said it for a reason so he can get a response back so he can put it in his word. And he put that in his word. He said, it's not fit to give the food from the table to the dogs. And the woman said this. She said, yea, Lord, but the dogs eat from the crumbs from the table. Woo-hoo-hoo. You know what we are? We're just crumb, crumb gatherers. That's what we are. We're gathering crumbs from under the table. And but see what the Lord did, he allows us to eat at the table. The Bible says, Paul said, I turn to the Gentiles. Thank God. We're Gentiles. If you know anything, we're Gentiles. And to the Jews, Gentiles are dogs. Gentile dogs. And we'll cover that next time. We got 5 minutes, all right? Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for your mercy and grace. Thank you for being so good to us. Lord, thank you for having mercy on a bunch of dogs. And what David said, he said, I'm a dead dog. And Lord, I pray, God, Lord, help us to realize our position in life. If this is the mercy of God, you may.